Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all of your promises. Thank you for how you have revealed yourself in your ways and your expectations through your word, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us continually through it, Lord. That any of us, Lord, who have an open heart, Lord, can go to your word and hear your voice and hear you speak. Because we know when Scripture speaks, you speak. So, Lord, right now we ask that you would speak. Speak to us your message. Thank you for your message this morning. Get me out of the way. We need to hear from you. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. And let us put into practice whatever you tell us. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. He cares for you. He cares for you. And one of the ways that he cares for you, and one of the ways that he has told you that he cares for you, is like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Like a good shepherd cares for his sheep. We have a member, she hasn't been among us in a while, we miss her, but her name's Sonia Boyer. We have a member that had to move away, and she's gotten up in years, and she needed to move and be with some family, but I've taught and preached some on Psalm 23 before, and I think each time, or definitely the first time, but each time I would, she'd catch me after, and she'd say, "You know, I have relatives in New Zealand that are shepherds, and you guys can help me out. Maybe shepherdesses too. I can't remember if she's got both, but." And she would tell me, you know, what she knew firsthand about shepherding. And so you all remember Sonia. I'll keep praying for Sonia. So, of course, she's got the relatives that are shepherding or have been shepherds or maybe even right now are shepherding in New Zealand. But God tells us a number of times in his word that our relationship with him is very much like a good shepherd's relationship with his sheep, to where we are like sheep and he is like a shepherd. And so we can gain a lot of truth about how God cares for us and how he relates to us just by looking at shepherds and sheep and how they function together, what they do together. There's a lady that wrote a book a number of years ago. Her name's Mary Glenn Peoples, and some of you may have read her book in your past, but her book is called All We Like Sheep. Allison introduced me to this book many years ago before we were ever married. Allison used to work in the Trinity Presbyterian Church Counseling Center, and she was the assistant to Dr. Sarah Portis, who was a counselor on staff there, and just a godly, incredible lady, a woman of God that loved Jesus with all her heart and just counseled people in his ways. And I believe Allison found out about this book through her or some of those circles anyway, and she gave it to me one time for, I think, a Christmas present. And she had to find it, you know, online or something because it's an older book. But I want to share with you just the table of contents, and I want you to think about each of these chapters are broken up about how sheep relate to their shepherd. And I want you to think about yourself, and I want you to see yourself as a sheep right now, and I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ as a shepherd, as your good shepherd. And if you don't have a relationship with him yet, know that it's still the same for you. It's just he's looking for you. You're his lost sheep. You're away from him, and he wants you back in the fold. He wants you in the fold, in the sheep with him. So he's seeking you out, and he's looking for you this morning as a lost sheep. But for those of us that have that relationship with him, listen to the ways a sheep relates to its shepherd. and take these to heart. All we like sheep, she says, all we like sheep, and this is the contents of this book, all we like sheep need full-time supervision. All these things are what sheep really need from their shepherd. All we like sheep need full-time supervision. All we like sheep need full-time supervision because they are not trainable. Sheep are not trainable. All we like sheep need full-time supervision because they are afraid to drink from running water. Sheep need full-time supervision because they are led, not driven. Sheep need full-time supervision when they are on their backs. They cannot right themselves. Can't get back up by themselves. They need a shepherd for all of these things. Sheep need full-time supervision because they are not burden-bearing animals. And God tells you, you're not made to bear burdens. You can't handle it. What happens? We have heart attacks. We have health problems. When we try to bear burdens, we're not made to bear burdens. He is. The shepherd is. Sheep are not burden-bearing animals. Sheep need full-time supervision because they must be sheared at the right time in the right season. Sheep need full-time supervision because their vision is impaired when they are not sheared. How many of you know that when things get in the way of our view of the Lord Jesus Christ, when things get away in the way of our focus, our single focus on Him, when we start focusing on a lot of other things, how many of you know that's us? Our vision is impaired when we're not sheared, when we don't remove those things that don't belong. Sheep need full-time supervision because they are defenseless. They can't fight for themselves when the enemy comes. Sheep need full-time supervision because they need His daily touch. And then she has a part two and a part three where she mentions this verse, and I believe I may have quoted some of it this morning, maybe in prayer. All we like sheep have gone astray. This is what God tells us in His Word. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on Jesus, on our shepherd, the iniquity of us all. Take those things to heart. Those are things that a sheep needs full-time supervision for. They're totally dependent on the shepherd for all those things. And God says, you're a sheep, and I'm a shepherd. I'm your good shepherd. And so those things characterize you and they characterize me. Well, let's look at a fascinating, incredible passage from God's Word that He's given us about this relationship in Psalm 23. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible next to you in the chair there, and you just open it up and in the middle and back up a little bit, and you'll be in the Psalms, spelled P-S-A-L-M. And look at number 23, Psalm 23. Let's read this together. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to read it from the NIV translation. Many here today know it by heart in the King James version, or maybe you memorized it in your own translation. I've memorized it in this translation, but follow along. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, David, who God used to pen this psalm, to pen this part of his word, he was a shepherd. He knew these things. He knew his sheep. He knew what it was to be a shepherd. And God gave him this to say, this is how my relationship is with you. And God gave it to all of us to say, this is how my relationship is with you. So notice from Psalm 23, notice that he cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep. That's the main point that I want to take to heart today with each of us. He cares for you. He cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep. And so because of that, there's no more reason to want. That's our first point. There's no more reason to want. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. If he is your shepherd, there's no reason to want. You see, a sheep who has a good shepherd that's taking care of him, that good shepherd is going to do all those things we mentioned in that book for that sheep. That good shepherd loves that sheep. And that good shepherd is going to take care of every need of that sheep. That good shepherd is going to take a lot better care of that sheep could ever care for itself. We read in here that if they're on their back, they can't even get up. They're defenseless. They're totally dependent on the shepherd. And you and I are the same way. Apart from me, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We're totally dependent on him. We can't make it on our own. We're not made to be able to make it on our own. And so he is taking full care of us, of all of our needs, just like a good shepherd cares for his sheep. So there's no more reason to want. If God is already taking the ultimate best care of you, way better than you could ever care for yourself, then if you think about it, you really don't have a reason to want for anything else, to desire other things, want other things, because your good shepherd knows what's best for you, and he's already caring for you in the maximum way. You can't be cared for any better if Jesus Christ is your shepherd. So, therefore, we really should just learn to be content and trust in his care for us, because we have no reason to want if we're already being taken care of in the maximum, greatest possible way we could be. You see, it's when we try to care for ourselves, it's when we think we know what's best for us, it's when we insist on our prayers and what I think is best being answered instead of just trusting my good shepherd who's carrying the ultimate way for me. There is no reason to want. A sheep can be content, and that is the word. Just see that word in all caps, content. That's what this verse is telling us. A sheep can be content in the care of that shepherd because it's the best possible care. They can't be cared for any better. And God tells us in another place in his word, godliness with contentment is great gain. God wants you to be content in his care for you. It's just like a little baby. It's just like little Jackson. Allison's younger brother, Brian, lives in Atlanta with his family, and they just had a new baby, little Jackson. And we haven't even gotten to see him yet. He's that new. But do you think Jackson really has to be concerned about a lot of things and worry about a lot of things? He has loving parents. His parents love him. And he's in the arms of that mother probably right now. Who knows? But I don't think Jackson really has to look out for himself and protect himself and try to find the right ways to go and guide himself and make sure he's provided for. And I don't think he doesn't really have to be in want. His parents are going to care for him right now. And God cares for his sheep. He cares for you. So we have no reason to be in want. Well, why? Why? Why don't we need to be in want? Well, first of all, because he guides you continually. He cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep. So there's no more reason to want. Why? Because he guides you continually is one reason. Look at verse 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so we see that a good shepherd here makes the sheep lie down in green pastures. The places that the sheep needs the most, these green pastures where there's great eating and the best. A good shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. God is caring for you, and he leads you to the green pastures. He makes you lie down in the green pastures. He leads you beside the quiet waters. And as we notice from the book, sheep are afraid to drink in rough waters. There's waves and they'll just drink. They're afraid of that. They'll just drink in the quiet waters. Well, he leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides you in paths of righteousness. He guides you continually in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he guides you along the best paths, his paths, for his name's sake, because he gets the glory for it. As he's guiding you along his path, he guides you continually. Now, we see that elsewhere in Psalm 139. God tells us that, it says there that even if I go to the far end of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your shepherd is continually guiding you. Even if you go to the far end of the sea, even there his hand will guide you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord. And think about your shepherd. Trust in your shepherd. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You're a sheep. Trust in your shepherd. Trust in your shepherd with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's where we get in trouble when we think we know what's best. We can figure it out. Lean not on your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You stay focused on your shepherd. He's guiding you continually. He will make your path straight. You just trust in him and get away from your own understanding, and he will guide you. I don't know about you, but if I was on a mountain expedition, I would be finding the best guide in that area. I don't like heights anyway, but I would be finding the best guide for that area. If I was going to go on a mountain expedition and try to climb up a certain way on a mountain, I'd find somebody who is a guide and a professional in that area, and I would listen to everything they said, and I would follow them step by step, and I would do every little thing they told me to do, because I wouldn't make it on my own. He's guiding you. Your shepherd is guiding you continually, keeping you from the edges of the cliffs and the mountains. He's guiding you on his path. We went canoeing not too long on the Coosa ago, not on the Coosa not too long ago with some cousins that were here from South Carolina, and I'm so glad they have a guide, I guess, so to speak. They had a man that was saying, I was telling all our kids, all right, let's all listen to the instructions. Let's listen to everything. I'm not about to canoe down this Coosa. Just maybe some of y'all would. But I'm going to listen to everything he says. And for my kids are there and younger ones are there. And let's listen to this guide. Well, he is our guide, guiding us continually. He cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep. There's no more reason to want. Why? Because he guides you continually. And next, he protects me. He protects you. Look at verses 4 and 5a. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Think about that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you know what this reminds me of is I see there, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it also reminds me that when if I'm trusting the Lord and I'm following him, you know, at times I can be on those paths of righteousness, following my shepherd, my guide, and being in where the green pastures are and the quiet waters, and I can be following my guide. And then, but if you knew me, you know that, but I'll veer off the path. I'll mess up, and I'll go my own way sometimes. And I'll do my own thing, and and the Holy Spirit will have to convict me, and He'll have to let me know, ooh, that's not it. You're getting off the path. But to me, the good news here in verse 4, it reminds me that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know God is also saying here that if I veer off on my own path, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. He's always with me. He's always with you if you're His sheep and He is your shepherd. He said in Hebrews, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. He's promised never to leave you if you are His. And so it's comforting and it's good to know that even if I walk, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He's always with you. You're always with me. And that's not just when I get off the path. That's through the trials and the valley of death that is before us. Oftentimes, even if we're being completely faithful to the Lord, the troubles and the trials that come, He'll always be with you. I won't fear any evil because you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, a good shepherd will use his rod to beat away the enemies of the sheep because the sheep are completely defenseless. So when the wolves come, the shepherd uses that rod and beats away those wolves. Or if the bear comes, the shepherd uses that rod. He's using it for you. When the enemies, whatever enemies come against you, spiritual or that besetting sin or habits or relationships in different ways, whatever comes against you, your shepherd has that rod to beat those things away, to protect you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He would use that staff, and if a sheep was to fall into a crevice and defenseless or on his back and couldn't get up, the shepherd can use that staff and pull him up out of that crevice and help him to get back on his feet. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God does that for you. He protects you. And I want to encourage you to read Psalm 91. If you're in need of hearing God's promises to you for protecting you, if maybe fear has really gripped you, maybe that's a besetting sin that you have. God said so many times in His Word, do not be afraid. Maybe that's something that you struggle with. You need to read Psalm 91. We don't have time to go there right now, but read Psalm 91. Look at God's protection for you. He protects me. Next, He provides for me. Finally, He provides for me. Look at the second part of verse 5 and verse 6. You anoint my head. Excuse me. You prepare. Oh, I'm sorry. One other thing in protecting me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Think about that. Even in the presence of my enemies, when I really need to be afraid, oh Lord, my God, you are actually preparing a table before me, and you're sitting me down, and you prepare a table before me, right there with my enemies. God tells us when our ways are pleasing to Him, He'll make even our enemies live at peace with us. You protect me. And finally, you provide for me. Look at the second part of verse 5. You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And that was a sign you wanted to keep that guest's cup full. And that's a sign of provision there. My cup is not just full. My cup is overflowing. My shepherd, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He provides for me. He provides for me continually. When when I went to seminary, we had when we got married, we had been doing the best we could to just live off of my income. And so we just had a budget to live off of my income because we knew that we wanted to have children one day, and we wanted Allison to be able to stay and be with those children. So we wanted to be used to living on my income. And so we had done this for a while, and then God called us to go to seminary. And so we had to pick up after our first child and leave and go to New Orleans for seminary. And Allison tells the story that we noticed that all that excess money, it actually was used all the way through seminary until the very end. I think Allison had kind of been watching it whittle down, and then right at the very end, when I was just finished with seminary, it was gone. And the Lord provided. We didn't plan on that, but He provided what we needed for that exact time. He provides for me. He provides for you. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You that You care for us like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Lord, teach us to have no more reason to want. Well, we know You've told us. We have no more reason to want. Help us to just trust in Your care for us, knowing that You're guiding us continually, You're protecting us continually, and You're providing for us continually, Lord. Lord, if there's someone who believes this morning that they might not be in Your fold yet, that You're looking for them, help them right now, Jesus, to call to You saying, Jesus, I believe You are the good shepherd. I believe You are my shepherd. I know I've gone astray. I've gone my own way, and I have sin in my life. I admit I'm a sinner. And I know the penalty is, as Your word says, the penalty is death and hell. But Lord, I believe, Jesus, that You went to that cross and You paid for my sins in full when You died for me. And I believe in who You are, the Son of God, God in the flesh. I believe You paid for my sins and that You're raised from the dead. And I call on You and I say, Jesus, have mercy on me. I am a sinner, but I want to be in Your fold. I want to be one of Your sheep. Save me. Come into my life. Take me to be Yours. Help me to follow You. I give my life to You. I want to totally trust You and just follow You as my shepherd. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if that's you this morning, make that known. Share that with everyone here. Share that with all the other sheep that are here. You're the newest one in our fold. So if that was you, I want to invite you to walk down the aisle as Chris leads us in this song. If you prayed that prayer with your heart, you come and share that with us. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you've realized that this is the fold you're supposed to be in. These are the sheep that God wants you to be a part of. He wants you to be in this flock right here. Well, you come if you want to join this church as Chris leads us in this song. And maybe there's something else God's telling you. And maybe you just need to pray. You can pray during this song, but you do whatever the Lord is telling you to do.